You guys can turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6. That's where we're going to be tonight. And as you turn there, I just want to review just for a minute what Pastor Nick taught us a couple of weeks ago in the verses leading up to these. In verses 14 through 18, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 23, but in verses 14 through 18, we saw those eating priests. I think I should have renamed my message the offering priest to go along with the eating priest. But we also saw a blessed assurance of acceptance by the Lord in the grain offering. And remember what the grain offering represented. It was an expression of devotion. It was an expression of thanksgiving. It was an expression of consecration to the Lord. And it was an act of worship and a gift of love for the Lord. And in those verses, we learn that the priests offer this grain offering on behalf of the people. Okay, they offer a memorial portion that is burnt on the altar. And then the rest of it was given to the priest for their material need, as that was God's provision for those that served in the temple. And we saw in these passages the awe and concern for the things that were holy. We saw the awe of what worship is to be, and it's not casual. Worship is never casual. It's not to be flippant, but it's important, and it requires preparation. And we saw that worship on God's terms is accepted by Him as it is a pleasing aroma. And that leads to a great assurance of our acceptance by Him. And this was important for the priests because as they represented God to man and then represented man to God, they had a need to be holy and acceptable. And so we're going to see tonight that not only did the people need to offer this sacrifice, but the priest did as well. And so let's stand and read Leviticus 6, verses 19 through 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is the offering that Aaron and his son shall offer to the Lord on the day when he is anointed, a tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a regular grain offering, half of it in the morning and half in the evening. It shall be made with oil on a griddle. You shall bring it well mixed in baked pieces like a grain offering and offer it for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The priest from among Aaron's sons, who is anointed to succeed him, shall offer it to the Lord as decreed forever. The whole of it shall be burned. Every grain offering of a priest shall be wholly burned. It shall not be eaten." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. It's an amazing thing that you, by your grace, would choose to reveal yourself to sinful men and women like us, and to send your Son, the Christ, Jesus, who we sang about and worshiped in song, to die a death that he didn't deserve, to be a sacrifice for us. And then, Lord, to give us your Spirit, to lead us, to guide us, to bring your word to mind, to apply it to our hearts, to apply the gospel to our hearts, Lord, that we have the right desires, godly desires, a desire for you. It's an amazing thing. And Lord, just as we're going to look at some things tonight that sometimes we can just skip right over or maybe take for granted, I pray that your grace is never one of those things that we do that with. I pray we never lose the wonder of the cross, and I pray we never lose the wonder, Christ, of who you are and what you've done in our place. So as we look at this passage tonight, I am praying that you would come and meet with us and that you would receive the worship that you deserve and you would be honored in all that we do here. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do tonight is just make some very, just like I prayed, make some very simple observations about this passage, because it'd be very easy to read this section of scripture and just pass right over it and go on to the next scripture. That's what a lot of commentators do. There's not a whole lot of ink spilled in commentary on these verses because they'll say, well, all of this we've already seen already, so let's just move on. But I don't want us to do that. I want us to slow down and just think about it for a minute and make some basic observations and then meditate on what we can learn from this. I want us to see how this points to Christ, and then I want us to also think about how this points to us. Okay? So first thing that we see in this passage is we see that the priest are required to give this grain offering. And so in that, we see the thanksgiving of the priest. Okay. Now, a lot of times it'd be easy for us, just in our human thought and our human processes, to look and say, well, why would the priest need to offer thanksgiving? They're doing this on behalf of the people, but why would they need to do it themselves? You know, most of the time the grain offering was preceded by the burnt offering, which was a recognition of sin. But we look at this and say, okay, why would there be a need for the priest to offer thanksgiving? And then you think about that, and the answer's pretty simple, isn't it? The priests are just as much sinners as we are, right? There are sinners in need of God's deliverance. They are sinners in need of God's grace. They are in need to be redeemed. That's why we see in Scripture that the priest had to continually offer sacrifices, not only for the people, but also for themselves. And they had to do that over and over and over again. And so it's very easy to see, you know, as you look at the priest, they're not some, you know, super spiritual, top level, you know, guys. Yes, they have a calling of God. Yes, they have an anointing of God to be in service to him, to serve the temple. But they are just as much in need of God's grace and deliverance as anybody else. Okay? And then Aaron is mentioned specifically here. Now, as we think about that, okay, why would Aaron have a need to be thankful to God? What's the first thing that pops in your head when you think about one of Aaron's big mistakes? The golden calf. Think about it. Aaron led the whole nation of Israel into idolatry and away from the one true God. What would we expect Aaron to get? What would we expect to happen to Aaron? Death. Destroyed. Smoked. Just like his sons would be for offering casual worship, right? But that's not what happened. Moses interceded, and God relented, and it says that there was atonement for sin. So Aaron experienced the long-suffering and the graciousness of God and the atonement and forgiveness of his sin. And then to think, even after that, that Aaron is going to be appointed high priest to serve God in his dwelling place, to serve his people in his temple. What kind of grace is that? The priest, above all, probably more so than anybody else, had a reason to be thankful to God, especially Aaron, because Aaron knew what he deserved, or else he wouldn't have been making excuses and blame shifting when Moses confronted him about the idolatry. He understood this. And there would be, for them to understand the anointing of God and to understand the calling on their life to serve in the temple, and there would be a need for thanksgiving, and they would understand that. And they would do that joyfully. And then it's mentioned in this passage about a picture. It gives us a picture of the high priest doing this and offering this grain offering on behalf of his sons. Okay, this passage says that this is the offering that Aaron shall offer, okay, as the high priest, and those who will be anointed to succeed him in that will offer this as well, okay? Now, Pastor Nick's taught us about this anointing of the priest. We saw that in Exodus. We're also going to see it again in chapter 8 of Leviticus. But we know that the priest had to be consecrated, and they were set aside for holy service, okay? And we know that the priests were to represent the people before God, and that's the picture we see here as we see Aaron the high priest representing the priests as a whole before God and offering this thanksgiving and offering this grain offering, okay? Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute, but what a picture we see as Christ being appointed our high priest and our representative before God to represent us before God on our behalf. It's an amazing picture, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But I also want us to observe in this passage, we see the continual nature of this offering, okay? This offering was an offering that would be made every day of the priest's life, from the day that he was anointed until someone succeeded him. It would be offered every day, every morning and every evening, okay? Now, we think about that, and what does that point to, okay? Well, one thing that it points to is this thanksgiving to God was not just a one-time, you know, one-and-done kind of thing. It wasn't like, okay, thank you, God, appreciate that, and, catch you later. It wasn't like that. This was a continual thing. It had to be done over. The Lord had decreed this forever, okay? And as the representative of God and one that was serving him in the temple, there was a continual need of God's favor upon them to serve him in this way. There was a continual need for the holiness to fulfill God's calling on their life. And so as God's grace would provide that, there was a continual need for thanksgiving to be given to God for that. Okay? Remember what Pastor Nick taught us about the priest's offering. He said as it, in the verses 14 through 18 and earlier, it would be as that offering would begin to smoke. It was what to the Lord? A pleasing aroma. Okay? And this, the priest had to be holy. And as that smoke went up and that was a pleasing aroma to the Lord, that he would eat the remaining portion and still be able to serve, it spoke to the Lord receiving his worship. And that led to the assurance that God had received it well and received the worship. And so think about it. Serving the Lord with a right heart and worshiping him as he deserves, it's a weighty thing. It's an important thing. And there is a continual need for God's grace. And then there's a continual need for thanksgiving and worship because of that grace. And there's a continual need for the priest to offer this so that they remain holy and acceptable before God. Now, I want us to think a minute about what that means for us. There's not one of us. There's not one of us that ever outgrows the need for God's grace in our lives. Doesn't matter, you know, that we've been saved. Even after we're saved, our greatest need is still Christ and his grace. Our greatest need is to be in Christ. Our greatest need is to dwell in the presence of God and his holiness. And we need his grace for that. And that grace leads us to a continual dependence upon him and a continual desire to worship him and then a continual desire to give him thanksgiving and a continual need to grow in holiness before him. And so we see this as this offering is one that is done in continuity. It is continual in nature because the Lord decreed it and we worship God on his terms. Another thing that we see in this passage is that the whole of the offering shall be burned. Okay? This passage tells us that the whole of this offering of the priest was to be burned. Every grain offering of the priest was to be burned and not eaten, okay? And that speaks to a couple of things. It speaks to the fact that the priests were to be fully devoted in their service to the Lord. They were to be fully devoted to him. They were to realize, and they did realize, that they owed everything to the Lord. And that they were to fully give themselves to him. All was due him, and that included them. It included their lives. Now, I want you to think about it. When we think about being devoted to the Lord, think about the priests. Think about the activities that were going on at the temple. Would that be just a little bit of light duty? No. Think about all of the sacrifices that were to be made for the nation of Israel. Think about all of the activities going on at the temple. Think about all of the instructions that God had given them to do this in the right way, in the right manner, on his terms, so that they could dwell in his presence. This was not a light thing. And so it needed to be done with all of devotion. And it didn't need, God didn't want it to be done in some begrudgingly manner. It was to be done joyfully. It was to be done thankfully. And so we see this as the priests are offering their sacrifice. It's all burnt up because they're to be all in. They're to give all that they have to the Lord. They're to be fully devoted to him. But I think it also speaks to another thing. It speaks to the need to trust God in and for everything. As we learned in chapter 2, when the grain offering was offered, part of it was burnt. What was done with the remaining? The priest ate it. It was given to the priest to eat. Why? It was their sustenance. It was their provision. It was their provision for life. It's what God did to provide for them. Okay? We also know from the Old Testament that the inheritance of Israel by tribe, they are to inherit land as their inheritance. Okay? What did the tribe of Levi get? What kind of land did they get? Zero. Why? Because the Lord was their portion. The Lord was their inheritance in Israel. And so as we see this, the picture that we see here is that the whole of the priest offering, in all of it being burnt, they had a need to trust God for everything, for all of the provisions of life, and they could trust Him for that. They were fully devoted to Him, and they could trust Him fully for their provision because He was their portion. He was their inheritance. And they could rest in that, and they could rest in trusting Him. And it speaks that God will provide for those in service to Him. And so as we look at this, as we look at this passage and just make these observations, we see the thanksgiving of the priest. We see the high priest as a representative before God. We see the continual nature of this offering, and we see that the whole of this offering shall be burned. Now, as we think about this, how does this point us to Christ? Because it's an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but as we've studied the Old Testament, and as we've done this on Wednesday nights, to see over and over and over and over again how the Old Testament points to Christ has been really cool for me. And it would be so easy for us, again, to read this passage and just pass by it and miss these pictures. But I want to just give you a couple, okay? Just a few about how this points us to Christ. Christ was fully devoted and submitted to the will of God. Just as the priest realized the weight of God's holiness, the weight of God's glory in their presence, so Christ always lived to honor and bring glory to the Father, and He submitted Himself to the will of the Father. Christ came to serve, not be served. Now I want you to think about something for a minute. If Christ was all about His own will, if He was all about His own self, if He was devoted to Himself and His own will and not the Father's, He never would have stepped out of heaven. He never would have left the glorious eternal relationship, the loving relationship that He had with the Father. If He were not devoted to the redemptive will of God, He would have never humbled Himself, took the form of man, and be obedient to death on a cross. He never would have done that. If He was not a lover of His bride, He never would have gave Himself up for her and sacrificed Himself for her. He never would have. But He did. Because He was totally and fully devoted to the Lord and totally submitted to the will of God. And therefore, because of that, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and gave Himself up that we might have life, and that the Father might be glorified in the redemption of man. He loved the Father. That's why we see the prayer so fervently in Gethsemane, because He loved the Father. And to think about the cup of wrath and separation that would take place being submitted to the will of God for the redemption of man, it made Jesus pray this. In Matthew 26, it says, Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. He prayed that 3 times. Later on in verse 42, it says, the second time He went and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done. And then in verses 44 It says he went away for a third time, saying the same words again. But then we see his face set like a flint. Because it says, he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus was very troubled, but he was very resolute to please the Father and bring him glory and submit to his will. And that was the heart of Christ. And that was to be the heart of these priests, and that's to be our heart as well. And because of Christ, because of his faithful obedience, God has exalted him, and God has appointed Christ as our high priest. And that's another picture. It's another way that this points us to Christ. Jesus is our high priest. And just as these priests were appointed by God and submitted to him, the Father appointed Christ as our high priest. And Christ offered himself as a once-for-all sacrifice on our behalf. I just want to read from Hebrews chapter 5. It gives us a great picture of this. It says, for every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest. I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about Christ. I want you to think about him being appointed, exalted to high priest to represent us before God on our behalf and to offer a sacrifice that is once and for all and eternal for us. He's a faithful high priest with no need to make offerings for sin of his own. And it was a perfect sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, he has become the only source of our eternal salvation. Your salvation personally. My salvation. He's the only source. And it was because of his faithfulness and his devotion to the will of the Father. And knowing this, just as Pastor Nick taught us, it brings great assurance and confidence. The writer of Hebrews would say this, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us remain faithful. Let us be fully devoted. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here it is. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ, in his faithful obedience to the Lord, has been exalted by him, and he is our high priest, and he is at the right hand of the Father, and he lives to make intercession for you. That's an amazing thought. That's a comforting thought. That should give us, that should set our faces like a flint to run to the throne room of grace, to find the grace and mercy needed, to glorify him in all that we do, to honor him in all that we do. That's what Christ did, and God was pleased with his Son. God was pleased with him. Just as the sacrifice of the priest was a pleasing aroma to God, so was the perfect sacrifice of his son. He was pleased with his son, and he raised him from the dead on the third day, never to die again, exalted him to his right hand where he reigns. So perfect was the sacrifice of Christ that the aroma of his suffering is eternal. And it will stand forever as our acceptance and assurance before God. That's what Christ has done. Now, how does this point to us? How does this point to me? How does this point to you? The first thing that I want us to think about, which is it should stoke in us thanksgiving, worship, praise, is I want you to think about your identity in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, as we, it's personal. It's not a nameless face of people, it's you. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God. Now get this. As you come to God in Jesus Christ, in his sight, you are chosen and precious. As you come to him, in the sight of God, you are chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be what? A holy priesthood. To do what? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is your identity in Christ. This is who we are in Christ. You are chosen and precious. And like a living stone, you're being built up into a spiritual house where God dwells. To be a holy priesthood. To do the same things and fulfill the same roles that these priests did in this passage. Later on in 1 Peter 2, in verses 9 and 10, he says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, the priesthood of God, royalty, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Once you were not God's people, but now you are. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. One of the most frequent ways that the New Testament speaks of our union with Christ is to speak of us being in him. We are united with him. We are one with him. And when God looks at us, he looks at us as chosen and precious because we are in Christ, just as he would look at his son. And because of what Christ has done in giving himself to save us, he has made us into a holy and royal priesthood. And all of the roles that we've talked about the Old Testament priests fulfilling, that is what we're to do in Christ. We represent God to man as Christ is in us. We represent man to God as we go and witness and share Christ and lift them up in prayer to be saved. And we offer sacrifices to the Lord. And this is chosen and precious in the sight of God. My hope and my prayer is that our identity in Christ is as precious to us as it is as precious to God in his sight. That's my hope and my prayer for me and for you. Because when we grasp that, when we see the amazing nature of who we are in Christ, we will be fully devoted to him. As the priest in this passage realized that they owed everything to God and they fully gave of themselves to him in trust, so we should be devoted in the same way. We should fully be devoted. Everything that we have, we've received from God. Think about the exchange that has taken place. We've received life instead of death. We've received mercy instead of wrath. We get to be in the eternal presence of God in Christ as our inheritance versus the torment of hell. We get to be called children of God. What love and grace is that? How can we grasp this kind of grace, this kind of identity in Christ, and not be fully devoted to Him? How can we grasp this and not worship? How can we grasp this and not give ourselves in worship? How can we not give offerings? And I'm not talking about tithes. Yes, we should do that. But what should our offering be? Yeah. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Think about the mercies of God that we've talked about. Contemplate that. Contemplate God's mercy to you personally. What are we to do? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Sacrifices didn't live. Sacrifice, yeah, we die to self. But living, it's because we're in Christ. It's because we're united to Him. He lives. We're to offer our bodies, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's your reasonable service. I want you to meditate on the mercies of God. And then as the priest of God, I want us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Not with any strings attached. Not offering ourselves wanting recognition or wanting to, you know, get the juice that we might think comes from that. But to offer ourselves with no strings attached to ourselves for the glory of God, for the good of Christ, to make Him known. To pour ourselves out for Him because of what He's done in my place. That's what it means to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. To serve Him by serving His body with thanksgiving. To feel privileged to do so. To offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for what He's done for us. To realize the continual need of His grace, so that there would be a continual need for us to offer thanksgiving and to worship Him. Because when we worship and we serve like that, you know what? It'll be real. It's an amazing picture. This passage that we could so easily read right over. It's an amazing picture of Christ. It's an amazing privilege for us to worship and serve Him. And my prayer is that we'd be fully devoted in doing just that. Let's pray. Father God, what a weighty thing. As we see the pictures of Christ, you know, my prayer, Lord, is that the pictures that You give us in Your Word, the pictures that point us to our Savior, God, my prayer is that they would bring awe and wonder to us of Your mercy to us in Christ, to not withhold Your Son. And Jesus, for You to step out of heaven, to be totally submitted, fully devoted to the will of the Father, to come and die a death You didn't deserve, to die in my place, to offer Yourself and to sacrifice Yourself for us. How can our hearts not sing? How can we get so busy with the world and busy with life that we just forget that? Because there's a continual need. There's a continual need. We're totally dependent upon You continually. And Lord, I thank You that Your sacrifice was once and for all. And it's eternal. It's the eternal source of our salvation. Our life is You. There's no life apart from You. Our life is You. It's hidden with You. You're our inheritance. What more could we want? I pray that's real for us. I pray you don't find us playing games, going through the motions, doing obligatory things. But I pray that everything we do, we just like we sang, that we'd honor you in everything, and it'd be real, and it'd be joyful, and it'd be done with thanksgiving. Forgive us of our pride and our selfishness and self-centeredness, and may we pour ourselves out for you, fully devoted in worship and praise and thanksgiving. And you'd be glorified in that. You would be made known. Please have your way with us now. And God, I thank you, Christ, that as you are our high priest, we can with confidence come now to you in prayer. And we can come with confidence, lifting up all of the petitions, all of the prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, knowing that you answer, that you hear and you answer according to your will and your glory. From the small to the large, may we not have a small view of you, but may we pray boldly and with confidence, knowing that you hear and you answer. May your will be done. I love you. We love you. Please, Lord, now, may our prayers be as incense to your nostrils, and may it be sweet. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.